From the KISS 92.5 studios in Toronto, Canada.
Are you ready?
Ladies and gentlemen.
This is Roz.
Yes.
And Mocha.
It's Roz and Mocha. What's going on?
Hey, I'm Shawn Mendes.
This is Selena Gomez.
Drizzy Drake.
Taylor Swift.
Post Malone.
Camila Cabello.
This is Ed Sheeran.
You're listening to my boys, Roz and Mocha.
Right here.
Turn up.
My boys, Roz and Mocha.
The Roz and Mocha Show.
I can see.
Between Roz and Mocha, who is your favorite?
Roz.
Mocha.
Roz. I just Mocha.
You guys are so funny, man.
$20,000. Are you seeing that?
This is the Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Powered by Air Transat.
Hi, Charlotte. It's Roz and Mocha.
Hi, how are you?
Doing good. How are you?
Good.
So, Charlotte, you wrote us this. Hey, Roz and Mocha, fix my life. I have a friend that is totally trying to be me. WTF. Recently, one of my closest friends landed a job that was my dream job. She's also planning her future wedding at a place I've always said I would get married at. She even dyed her hair to match yours. You said, maybe you sound jealous, but she's accomplishing all of your goals.
Oh, no.
But they've always been yours, and she's just copying you. Are you overthinking this, or do you have a friend that wants to be you, and should you just take it as a compliment?
Wow. Charlotte, how old are you?
30.
How long have you been friends with this girl?
For the past 10 years.
Does she know that she's, like, taking all of your stuff?
I think, like, the reason why I decided to reach out to you guys is because she did make a comment, especially with the wedding situation, and I kind of pointed out to her that the specific location she's looking into, I was like, hey, this was actually something that when I was with my previous boyfriend of 5 years and we just broke up this year, we were looking into this exact venue.
Right. So hold on here. Are you currently engaged to get married?
No, but I was.
Okay.
Oh,
so
hey,
hold on now.
Charlotte.
So you were engaged to get married and then you told your friend about this beautiful place, right? And now you're no longer engaged. Is she engaged to be married?
She is. What do you call, like, no, she's not engaged to be married. She's like in this honeymoon phase where she's, you know how girls get, they're like, oh, I love this guy.
Yeah, boyfriend island.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And then she was just like, you know what I would love to do? I would love to be like book this venue. I would love to go to this church. And I'm like, oh, this sounds kind of interesting.
But hold on. But did you say to yourself, this sounds interesting? Or did you say to her, hey, that's where I was going to get married?
That's exactly what I said. And then she was like, so what are you saying? Like, I shouldn't be copying you? So I was like, oh, yeah.
Hey, listen. I don't think y'all need to be arguing over who's getting married where when neither of you are engaged to be married.
Okay.
Charlotte, that place is up for grabs for anybody.
Yeah.
Okay.
Neither of you are engaged right now, and you're pissed that she's planning her fantasy wedding in the same place you're planning your fantasy wedding?
Okay, it's more than that.
Okay,
it's more than just a fantasy, whatever. Okay. Like, honestly, like, I could get over something as superficial as that. I think it's more than that.
Let's go to the next thing.
Okay, so like I think it really did start with the dream job situation. We're both in the same field is how we met.
Yeah.
And I have been, there's this one place that it's great downtown. They have a pension. They're like this super cool company and I've always applied to it and I've always been like, I want to go here.
Yeah.
And she was never interested. She's never been like me. I'm such a city girl. I live downtown. I breathe downtown. And then out of randomly, she's just like, I got this job at this place. And not for nothing, like, again, like, if you're there to advance your career,
mm-hmm.
I'm all for it. It's not like, again, it's like, I'm not trying to be like, oh, you stole my job. Like, no, like, it's like, good for you, it's great. But I thought it was kind of weird because it's my field isn't in the field that she's even interested in.
But you guys both do the same thing, though, you said, right? You're in the
same. Yeah, it's like we're both in law, but we do different types of law.
But still, she landed the job before you did, and that's why you're pissed.
Okay.
Did you apply for that? Did you apply for the job?
Yeah, I did.
And you didn't get it?
Well, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, well, you can't be pissed at her that she got the job that you didn't get when you both applied for it.
Yeah, it's not. She didn't take your spot. You applied and didn't get it.
Okay.
Okay, next.
For our 30th, she wants to plan like a her birthday in Vegas, and I decided that, and that's something that I've actually been in the works in for a while.
Charlotte, you know how many people in the world plan trip to Vegas for a birthday? You're not the only one.
Am I being jealous? So are you saying like I'm crazy?
Yes.
No, listen.
Not crazy.
Is she starting to dress like you?
Well, yeah. Well, that comes down to like the hair thing. Like, again, like, I kind of have these ashy brown purple hair.
Yeah.
And then she, like a month later, she did the exact same hairstyle as me.
Where did you see this hairstyle that you found it so great that you wanted to do it?
Oh, like, you know, like Pinterest. Like literally, like I showed it to my hairstylist.
So hold on here.
So you stole the hairstyle from something you saw online and then getting mad that your friend's stealing the hairstyle because you guys talked about it.
This would be a bad idea, yeah.
Oh man, I know that wasn't going well, but don't hang up on us, because with all these FMLs that we do, sometimes they start off and the advice is a little rough, right? But we always try and bring it all the way back around, because especially with something like this, because what I was going to tell her was that there is a point where you can start taking this as flattery, because that was one of the things that she asked, because oftentimes when somebody does mimic you, it is done from a place of their own sort of low self-esteem,
sure,
or sometimes lack
insecurity,
of creativity,
yeah,
insecurities. And what you wind up getting is you get somebody who is not confident enough in their own decision-making, right? And so they look for other people to provide the good ideas. And to them, it's not stealing. It's just, hey, thank you for helping me with this. You know what I mean? Like, it's that sort of look, that hair color, that dress, that beautiful church. Making a decision on where to have your fantasy wedding is daunting for people. So if you have somebody who is like, this is why this place is awesome, for somebody who is not confident in their decision making, they will look to somebody like that to validate things that maybe they don't know. And that's where you sort of can take it as a compliment. It didn't sound like the woman was stealing from her in any way.
It's just like, hey, Charlotte, you got a great life.
Yeah.
And your aspirations and dreams sound fantastic. Yes. I never would have thought of that. Let me get a piece of that.
Right. But you can talk to this person, or have somebody else talk to that person. But I don't think you need to be accusing somebody of, you know, stealing your dream job when you both work in the same field. You applied for that job, didn't get it. They applied for it and got it. I don't think that's stealing somebody's dream job.
Yeah. So thank you for your FML, Charlotte.
Roz and Mocha's Fix My Life on KISS.
Hi, it's Roz and Mocha.
Hi. I was just calling in defense of the girl that just hung up on the FML.
Sure.
Because I had a friend that I had to cut out of my life because she started doing that too, and it got to the point where it was like creepy. And it started with little things like that. Like, she would change her hair. If I got like a tattoo, she got a tattoo in the same spot in the same style. And then she started, like, acting like me, and it just got weird.
Do you remember
I had to cut her out.
You remember Single White Female?
That's literally what it felt like.
What's Single White Female?
You never saw that movie? It was Jennifer Jason Leigh and who was it? Jennifer Jason Leigh and somebody else in it. It was, but it was exactly this. She got a roommate.
Yeah, Bridget Fonda.
Yeah, and
Jennifer Jason Leigh.
Jennifer Jason Leigh. Okay, yeah. Oh, yeah, it was Bridget Fonda. Look at that. But where she gets a roommate, and then the roommate sort of like just starts cuts her hair like hers and starts dressing like her, and then it eventually becomes like a situation where it's like violent and murdery. Right?
Yeah.
But that's what it's sounds a whole lot like that.
It's a good thing you cut her out of your life.
Well, right? But that's it, just because she got her hairstyle from Pinterest, but then I felt bad for her because I'm like, I know what it's like to have a friend do that. Like, it's just it's weird.
Shady. Hey, thanks so much for the call.
Weird. Okay, no problem.
Later, girl.
Bye.
This is the Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
This tweet popped up in my feed this morning. And this woman asked, what's the funniest excuse for cheating someone has given you? And she says, I'll go. My ex told me he cheated on me because I had a driving phobia.
What? Come on.
And then so everybody jumped in on this. One person wrote, my ex told me I was too sad when my dad died, and that's when he cheated.
No. Oh, no.
My ex-boyfriend cheated on me because I didn't make banana bread with two bananas, with the two bananas he left on the counter. And I told him, seriously, everyone knows you need three bananas to make good banana bread. I had an ex literally tell me God was telling him to cheat and that was his destiny to do it. My favorite one, according to this woman, quote, you're too drama free. I want someone who's a little more difficult. I had a boyfriend cheat on me because he said he never had the opportunity to touch big boobs.
Come on. No.
Somebody else wrote, he cheated because he thought I needed the trauma for my character development.
Stop it.
This is not a joke. He was a poet.
Sorry, he was what?
A poet. somebody else wrote, a different ex, she goes, my ex caught herpes and his mom asked if he was taking his medicine in front of me. She's a real one for that. And I asked him what medicine. He told me he had tuberculosis.
Oh, no!
One of the many times my ex cheated on me, he told me, she has the same name as you. I thought it would be a funny story to tell you later on.
Come on.
And my personal favorite. When I confronted my ex, he said someone hacked his phone. It was updated to his current location. I guess he was going back and forth on Tinder. He goes, when I confronted him, he said that someone hacked his phone. It was updated to his current location and his bio was current. I said, how did that happen? His response was, I don't know how these hackers work, Marissa.
Yeah, Marissa. Have you seen The Matrix? Get out of here.
This is the Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Well, la-dee-da, big shot. Club class with Air Transat. This is where you can sit back, you can relax, you get that extra large seat, you get the deluxe like leather seats,
yeah,
like all the stuff that you want when you're flying.
Yeah, we've all been on a plane where you can either take the left and go past the curtain and sit in those seats, or you take the right and you go and sit with everybody else. And for most people, the turning left part of air travel is unattainable because it's so expensive. I'll tell you, flying club class with Air Transat is one of the most economical ways to optimize travel.
Yeah.
I think that's the best way to put it. And it is so fantastic up there. The seats are better. They're what everything that you would expect. The food is spectacular. The menu they give you in club class is hands down the best food I've ever had on a flight in my entire life.
Yeah. And gourmet style.
Yeah. You get a huge screen on the back of the seat in front of you. Like, everything is just great. It's the way you want to fly.
Other privileges like complimentary seat selection, two-piece baggage allowance, rapid check-in counter, priority boarding, and baggage service. Learn more about club class at airtransat.com.
This is the Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
How you doing?
Good. Where are we here? There's something else I wanted to talk to you about.
Ooh, your feelings.
Not my feelings. I got no problem talking about my feelings, though. I more like talking about stuff, though, over my feelings.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Nah, you like to deflect.
No, it's just, I always feel that I don't want to put them on anybody. You know, like I don't, and I'm not like saying that guys don't talk about their feelings or guys shouldn't talk about their feelings, because I think they should, and I don't actually think there's a huge stigma that exists around that. I think a lot of that is made up, because most guys know that talking about feelings is what gets you closer to women. You learn that early on.
Drake wrote a song about it.
You know what I mean? Right? Yeah. So we knew that. No, I much prefer talking about stuff, but feelings, it's like I never come in the day. If I have a really, really terrible day,
yeah,
I never come in the house and unload it on the family. You know what I mean? Like, I never come in and have that just, I have to get everything off my chest,
right,
kind of moment. I don't. And if Catherine, well, the thing that pisses Catherine off is she'll always say, how's your day? And my answer is always the exact same. Fine.
And that's
like,
it.
And she goes, that's it? She's just like you. Yeah. She's like, that's it? And I'm like, yeah, it was fine. It was fine. It was a fine day.
Yeah.
Like, I'm in a fine mood. It was a fine day.
You're gone for the house, from the house for like 14 hours.
Yeah, yeah.
A lot could have happened in 14
hours.
Yeah,
but it was fine. I was at work.
Yeah.
It was fine. Now I'm home and I'm much better now than I am then, right? I don't know if I've ever walked in the house and looked at my family and have been in a worse mood than I was when I was at work. Therefore, I'm at the best I've been all day with you.
Which is
right?
Fine.
So let's just take that as a win. When you ask me how my day was, I wasn't with you, so it was just fine, right?
Okay? Now it's even better.
Yeah, and now it's even better. Now it's great. If you ask me how does it feel to be home,
I'm
going to be like, oh my God, it feels so good to be home. And you're going to get some like emotion out of me. But when it comes to my day, who cares about my day?
Yeah.
I'm home now.
Well, she's just trying to show interest, I guess.
I know, but I don't unload though. Like I can't go through all the things. Mainly because I can't go through all the things because I don't want to then sit there and rationalize why certain things happen.
Sure.
Because I don't want to have a conversation about the things that maybe didn't go well.
Yeah.
And I certainly don't want her to think that my day was perfect. You know what I mean?
You should try that. When you get home today, and she's like, babes, how was your day? And you're like, oh, perfect.
First of all, she knows me and she knows that would be a lie.
This is the Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Hi, it's Roz and Mocha.
Mocha, how are you?
Good, buddy. How are you?
Good, man. I'm just going through the drive-thru at Tim Hortons here, and I was wondering if you can give me a coffee.
If I can get you a coffee?
Yeah.
How?
Well, I was just thinking, I'm just going right now, I'm going to be hitting the window right now, and I'm thinking, if you ask them that I should get a coffee, they might give it to me.
Sure, we can do that.
You want to try that?
Yeah, no problem.
I'm next in line.
Okay,
oh,
yeah.
Perfect. What's your name, by the way?
Tony.
Which Tim's location you at?
We're at Kingston Road in Midland. Here we go.
Okay.
Hey, how are you? I'm just on the phone with Roz and Mocha right now. Do you know who that is? Do you know Roz and Mocha?
Yeah.
Okay, put us on speaker.
Okay, here you go.
Hey, man. Can you hear us?
Yes.
Yeah, it's Roz and Mocha.
Hi.
Okay, so Tony's in the car right now. You just met Tony. Tony has fantastic news, which is Tony would like to pay for the order of whoever is in the car behind him right now as well.
Sounds good. Yeah. Let's do it.
Okay.
I just got ripped off. But it's okay.
What do you think? This show's a coupon, man?
Yeah. I love you guys. Hey, ladies, Roz and Mocha says hello.
Hello. All right. There you go. A lot of luck going on under the Tim Hortons drive-thru this morning.
Great.
Roz and Mocha's Fix My Life.
What advice can you guys give me?
Okay, so my question is...
Got a problem you can't fix.
Roz and Mocha got you.
Yo, Mandy, what's up? It's Roz and Mocha. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. We're going to try to fix your life.
So there's a lot of detail in what you wrote us, but it boils down to this. Your cousin's wife thinks that you have a crush on your cousin.
Right.
But you don't actually have a crush on your cousin, right?
God, no.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Why does she think that?
I don't know. Because we have a lot in common.
Yeah.
And we haven't seen or spoken to each other in about 30 years.
Right.
And when we reconnected at his dad's celebration of life, we started talking on Facebook Messenger about Game of Thrones, and we have that in common, and we have, you know, Marvel stuff in common. And so when we get together, we talk about all this stuff we have in common and all the places we've gone that are the same and all the stuff. And I guess she felt like she was either left out of the conversation or that we were flirting, but this is the problem.
Okay. I think you kind of got some of that information right. Maybe she feels like she doesn't have those things in common with her now husband, and she feels left out.
Right.
Yeah, but you're a cousin though, right? Like you have to be able to draw a line as a partner. Like when you see your partner
totally.
And they're close to somebody, it's not like you're not the hot Mandy from The Office. You know, like
right.
you're the man's cousin.
Yes, and first cousin at that.
First cousin. So what are you asking? Like whether you had to handle this?
So she sent me a very passive-aggressive email outlining all of her kind of step by, if you want to continue a relationship with him, this is basically what you have to do.
Okay.
So then I sent an email back that was not passive-aggressive.
Yeah.
But also wasn't rude. But I did basically say, I'm not apologizing anymore for being close to my cousin, and you need to get a grip on yourself, because it's not anything incestuous. It's not anything like that. That's just who I am. I'm a very caring person. I give gifts. I give hugs.
Sure,
like everyone
sure.
in the family hugs, right?
So what did she say in response to your rebuttal to her initial email?
She was very angry and very rude her reply email.
Pause for 1 second. Why isn't your cousin dealing with this?
My cousin, who I thought was on my side, tucked tail and took her side.
Well, then screw him. Well, then screw him.
Well, that's not nice.
Then screw him. You don't need that in your life.
Yeah, that's not. Need that nonsense.
This is a him problem, not a you problem.
Okay.
So you guys became close, and then once the wife had a problem and made it known that it was a problem, your cousin then turned on you and sided with his wife.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's weird, man.
Yeah. No, that's between those two weirdos, not you.
Move on with your life, Mandy.
Okay.
Especially if that's the way he's treating you now. That's not cool, man.
Yeah.
All right.
That's what all of my friends said, too. Yeah. I just wanted a complete outsider opinion.
No, that's your weird cousin's problem with his weird wife.
Okay.
All right, love.
Awesome.
Okay. Yeah, go find some other cousins to be flirty with. I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. I'm just kidding, Mandy.
Yeah. Next time you start flirting with a cousin, okay, just at least make sure they're single.
Right.
Yeah.
Right, my bad.
Okay.
Love you, Mandy.
You
take
guys
care.
Are the best. Thanks. Right.
Roz and Mocha's Fix My Life on KISS.
Hello?
Hey, it's Roz and Mocha.
Oh, hi.
Hi. Are you on the subway right now or on the bus?
No, I'm driving in my car.
Oh, okay. What's your name?
Natasha
wrote this to us, Roz.
Mm-hmm.
I gotta tell you about my podcast on the subway experience.
Okay.
So go for it, Natasha. When did this happen?
Okay, so I started taking the subway. Got married last year, means then my commute is much longer, so yeah. I started downloading the podcast because I can't listen to you guys in the morning anymore. And my husband said recently, after I started listening to the podcast, my laugh has changed.
Oh, yeah?
So he said that, like, I laugh very weird now, that, like, it's like an uncontrollable, ha ha ha, like, you're embarrassing me.
Oh, no.
And so when I'm on the subway, I'll be listening to the podcast and I'll like start laughing out loud and like people will be looking at me and I'm like, oh my God, okay, I need to try to control my laughter. So now when I'm laughing, I'll be like listening to the podcast, laughing, but like trying to hold it in. But I think I look like I'm like spazzing or something because like one lady beside me was like, are you okay? And I was like, oh, sorry, I'm just trying to hold in my laughter. But yeah, it was very embarrassing. She's like, oh, just laugh out loud. And I was like, I don't know what to do. Do I laugh out loud or hold it in?
Yo, be but you, yeah. Girl. Who so cares?
But yeah, so it's incredible. And I, you guys bring me so much joy just listening to the podcast and when I get to listen to you guys in the morning.
Oh, that's so nice.
Thank you.
But yeah, I'm actually listening to you guys right now. So when you called, I was like, who's calling me?
Oh, wait, but you're listening to the live show and not the podcast.
Live show, yeah, live.
Okay, good. Because sometimes we'll talk to people, like they'll call in or we'll reply to somebody that texted, and while the live show is happening, they're listening to the podcast.
Oh.
Yeah, and they have questions about it. Like, we're supposed to know the answers to it.
Yeah. So, guys, I'm listening to episode number one right now.
Yeah, we're like, bro, that happened like...
2 years ago.
2 years ago.
Oh, Natasha, thank you very much for listening when you can. Be proud of who you are, despite what kind of laughter you have. Take it from me. Take it from me. Be proud.
I know, your laugh is the best.
Between Roz and Mocha, who's your favorite?
Okay, so I'm going to have to say, sorry, Roz, Mocha, yeah. Because I'm Guyanese too. Big up, Mocha.
Hey, big up.
We've never had somebody call this show to say that I'm their favorite because they're also white. You know that? You know?
Well, feel free. It's 416-870-8888.
No, I don't want to talk to somebody.
If you want to text 925-555.
No. To be honest with you, yeah, I would feel very uncomfortable if somebody said...
What would your reaction be?
I don't...
Like, if somebody said, hey, Roz, you know what? I'm glad that you guys asked me this question because my favorite is Roz because he's just like me, white.
I don't know how to respond to that. Like, I'm not... I don't know. Which I guess goes to prove that I'm not racist because I don't even know what sort of response I would be able to have for that. Like, I've never thought about somebody would like me because of that.
Natasha?
Yeah, don't do that. Don't call. At all. I don't want to deal with that.
Natasha, love you lots. Thanks for listening.
Love you too. You guys are the best.
Later, bye.
Hello, KISS 92.5, Roz and Mocha.
Hey, how's it going? It's Carl, and I just thought I'd be the first to call and say I love Roz because I'm white.
Hello, Carl. Where are you calling from?
I am calling from Bayview and Eglinton in Toronto.
Okay.
Bayview. Oh, what's that famous restaurant that's right there, Bayview and Egg?
Pantsers.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you say Pantsers?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sometimes Maury, when we're doing the show, will call in from his room and just pretend like he's a caller. And we've done this 1,000 times. Hey, Maury, I'm going to say right now, this is not your best moment to do one of these calls.
Because it's racist?
Well, here's the thing is that, no, it's
because
not.
Because it's racist?
No, it's not because it's racist. It's because you have to ask if it's racist or not.
So, not racist.
Oh, man.
Bye, Maury.
This is the Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Raptors lost to the 76ers last night. 110-104. We're in Chicago tonight. Not saying it's a coincidence, but ever since Kyle Lowry came back into the lineup, the Raptors have been losing. That was our third in a row last night.
So.
So you're gonna... I don't know, Nick Nurse. They're paying you $10 million over 3 years.
Are you saying that somebody should trip Kyle Lowry?
I'm saying maybe he should be just be benched for a little bit.
Yeah.
The guys were on a roll. They had a good formula.
Yeah, you can't do that, though. You've seen that in sport after sport after sport, you know? If the star gets sick and they're winning and your star gets better, you don't sit your star.
But the star of that team this year is Pascal Siakam.
You know what I mean.
Not Kyle Lowry.
You know what I mean.
I know.
You don't do it. Nobody does that.
I know.
Yeah.
Well,
it's tough, though.
I don't know. Do some push-ups or something.
I know. There's a lot of Kawhi Leonard memes over the weekend because they got crushed. Yeah, because they got crushed, right?
Yeah.
They got crushed, and there was just like one pitcher. And Kawhi Leonard is still so great because every pitcher he takes, he looks so sad all the time.
Yeah.
Right? So you can use it for anything.
Like happiest moment.
Yeah. If they win, you take a picture of Kawhi, and you're like, can you believe this? This is the face of a man who just won, right? And then you're like, oh my God, Kawhi's so great. He doesn't even smile even when they win. But then when they get crushed and there's a sad picture of Kawhi, oh my God, people go in and they go in like, they go in so hard. They go in so hard. Did you watch The Mandalorian on Friday?
You know what? I did not.
You haven't watched The New Mandalorian
yet?
That
is episode
5.
Number 5, right? Yeah. Did you watch it?
I did, yeah. And? Yeah. Rox and I are really into that show.
How long is this episode? Because they vary. Anywhere from 32 to like 40 minutes.
Yeah, no, I think it's around 30. I think it's around a half hour.
I love that show so much.
Yeah, this is a much better episode than the last episode.
Really?
Yeah. And I really liked it. And Amy Sedaris is in it. She's a comic and she's been around forever, but she's incredible in it. Her character is so fun in this movie. But then I saw that meme that somebody pointed out where baby Yoda looks just like Gizmo from Gremlins.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
And now it all makes sense to me. I'm like, how did I not see that? How did I not see that baby Yoda looks just like Gizmo? Like, the reason we loved Gizmo from Gremlins was because he was cute and he had those big ears and everything else.
Yeah.
And then they introduced years later baby Yoda, which is basically Gizmo in the IKEA monkey jacket.
Yes.
Right?
That's so great. I love the internet so much.
You know, it's so great. But it's Gizmo shaved with the IKEA monkey jacket on. But the meme was, it was Baby Yoda on top and then Gizmo from Gremlins underneath. And it just read, when you have the same mom but come from different dads. But no, it's a good episode this week. A really good. Yeah. And I'm really into that show. And I'll tell you, when we talk about this all the time, which is, I really think that The Mandalorian is going to be the end, the death of being able to binge shows, because look at the amount of mileage they get out of this show.
Oh, yeah.
Releasing one 30-minute episode a week.
Right through the holiday. We're only at episode 5.
Bro, it's crazy.
Right? And how many... Is it
I think
10?
It's 8. No, I think it may be 8. Maybe 10. But look at the reaction they're getting. Every single baby Yoda, people have not been able to stop talking about Baby Yoda now for 5 weeks.
I saw.
And it's going to continue on for possibly another 5. You don't get that kind of action when you release a show all at once. Yes, you get that one initial weekend. Right? Wherever, it's the only thing anybody's talking about. Like when Stranger Things drops, it's the only thing anybody's talking about. But I don't think you can trade that action for the action of having your show trend every single weekend for 10 weeks.
So
it's
last
incredible.
Week, I was telling you about a guy in Toronto who got a tattoo of Baby Yoda holding a white claw.
Right.
On the weekend, somebody in New York got a Baby Yoda tattoo. Wearing a blue Yankees fitted, a black and yellow North Face jacket, and Timberland boots. Look how badass this Baby Yoda looks. That's so New York.
That's not a tattoo. That's not a tattoo. That's not a tattoo, you jerk.
Baby Yoda is ready for winter.
This is the Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Hey, it's Roz and Mocha. Who's this?
Hey, it's Marco. How are you guys?
Good, Marco. You've been on hold for like 15 minutes, and Maury's every now and then keep popping his head into this room being like, talk to Marco, talk to Marco.
Yeah, I have a great request. I love hearing you guys every morning. You guys put me in tears. Honestly, I really think Maury needs to run a segment. Every time Maury's on, I have tears streaming down my face. I want to hear him Sorry, Maury, but I want to hear you mess up a segment.
We've done that before, though.
Yeah, it's called every single time he's on the radio.
No, we've given Maury like the full show before, and it didn't go well. And I'll tell you, the last time we did it, one of the reasons why we haven't done it since was we thought it was going to be funny and it was going to be great, and we had all this cool stuff planned, and like it was just going to be awesome, right? Like it was going to be fun.
Yeah.
And then what happened was is that people started to react to it, and Maury started to cry.
Because
the roasting was just so vicious, and it like, but this is the thing is that it's not like it was bad. It like by design, it was supposed to be goofy because it's Maury, right? But the problem was that the immediate reaction was vicious. Do you remember that, Mocha?
Honestly, I don't remember that.
We were in the old studio.
Yeah.
We were in the old studio. Maury, get in here. What are you doing? Maury, get in here. What are you doing, man? You have this guy on hold for 15 minutes. All he wants to do is talk about you, and you're in there gabbing on the phone.
I was on the phone.
Do you remember that?
Yes.
And it wasn't fun.
Because there was a lot to take. Look, there's a lot going on. You got to do this.
No. Just chill for 1 second. You remember what the reaction was and how hurtful it was.
Yes.
Right. And that wasn't cool.
No.
Because nobody wants anybody to like do this show and then cry because of...
I'll say this, looking back, and when we watched, like, you know, you filmed video on your phone and stuff, it was funny later.
Right, but at that time...
Not so funny.
Not funny. So that's what happened the last time we handed the show over to Maury, is that it ended in tears.
Okay, so let's not do that. We don't want Maury to cry. We want the audience to be crying of laughter, but not Maury.
Right. Don't get me wrong. I'm fine to have Maury cry again, bro. I just don't know if he is.
Right. All right.
All right, Holmes.
Thanks, Marco.
Awesome.
All right, brother.
Thank you.
This is the Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Tutti a tavola a mangiare. Hey, Chef Lydia Bastianich is here. Her new book, Felidia, is out right now. Welcome back.
Oh, pleasure being here, guys.
It is so awesome whenever you visit because I watch your show so much.
Do
on
you?
TLN. I do. And it just feels like when you walk in here, it's like family's coming back to visit.
The hug you gave me is like, you know, family.
It's a
family.
Good hugger, huh? Going through your book, this is what, your like 13th book?
It is.
Is that the deal?
It is. It's my 13th book.
So when you start going through like your recipes, you are obviously somebody who knows what works, right? So when you have to keep releasing a book, like to me, there's one way I'm sure that you cook one thing and you don't change that way because the way you do it is perfect. Do you find that you have to sort of like figure out new ways to do something that you already do perfectly to just put in a cookbook?
But that's the excitement.
Okay, fair
cooking,
enough.
Cooking is just that, you know,
yeah.
It's in response to the climate, to the weather, to the heat, to the cold, to what the products that you have.
Yeah.
So I could be braising or stewing, let's say lamb, but I could add butternut squash to it, or I can add some turnips or some zucchini in the springtime.
Yeah.
So these kind of things.
With the holidays quickly approaching, have you already thought of what the holiday meal? Are you in charge of the holiday meal this year, or is it like a family kind of event?
It's a family, but it's at my house, you know, my mother. So we're 4th generation. My mother is going to be 99 this January.
Wow.
And she's still alert, and she still gets involved, and it's still her house in a sense. So everybody comes to see grandma.
Do you like sharing the duties? Like, what is your kitchen like when it's something like that where you got a lot going on? Do you like people futzing around in your kitchen, or do you tell everybody to get out, I got this?
No, I do. You know, because being a chef, you have a lot of sous chefs and all that, and you're used to it. What I'm good at is at delegating,
okay.
You know, absolutely. So you have to, if you're in a kitchen, and that's for everybody out there who's, you know, make sure that you choose a job that one person is good at, and you put them in a setting and let them do that, and kind of delegate the jobs and monitor them.
What do you cook for the holidays? Do you do like a big Italian, or do you, like, what do you
course.
Do? Yeah.
The beginning is natural, an aperitivo.
Okay.
An aperitivo, and usually it's bubbles, it's prosecco. And then with that, what I do, because usually we are 20-30, and that's a good tip for all of the people out there, is an antipasto, but like a spread. I begin with prosciutto, mortadella, all the different cheeses, and that spread. And with that, you get the nuts, the dried fruits. So you see already you're building it. And you know what we do for the holidays, because there's so much to eat? Capon soup. You know the capon?
No, what is that?
Capon is a castrated bird.
Oh,
exactly.
Wow.
And but it's traditional, you know, in Italy. And it retains a lot of the flavor, and it makes a great, great soup.
So when you say it's a castrated bird, the soup is in the soup is the bird, or it's the stuff you castrated from the bird?
That's a lot of birds.
That wouldn't make much of a soup.
Thank you. Okay. Depends on the bird. You know what I'm saying?
And then what's the main? Like, what you're going through all these. I'm sitting here thinking about eating all that food. I'm already full. What is the actual, what's
tortellini
the star?
Tortellini brodo. So tortellini in the cape and soup, that's the pasta element. Yeah. Whatever. Prime ribs, I know the kids like that, so it's 30, and a roasted pork of Ooh. Some sort. So
Beautiful.
Those two
roast
go.
Pork is so good.
So tell us about the book. I hope I'm pronouncing it right. Felidia?
Felidia. Felidia is my restaurant on 58th Street in Manhattan, and we opened it in 81. So the restaurant is still going very strong. There are classic recipes in there from the beginning that we cannot take off the menu. People right. love them. And when you make a recipe for a restaurant, you embellish it a little bit. But what we did here, I went retro, the chef and myself, with the recipes and made it very doable at home. Because these are basically home recipe. Yeah. You know, an osso buco. Everybody loves it. Yes, the restaurant adds this and that. But it's very simple. It's a one-pot meal. You can make it at home.
Okay. All right.
All right, Chef Lydia, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Toronto, for accepting it.
Yes. Tell her what I thought was in bolognese.
So we had a conversation about bolognese sauce,
uh-huh.
and I pronounced that wrong, and then people...
Do I know what it is?
Do you know what bolognese is?
So we had a cook-off where I made my bolognese, and uh-huh. Maury made his bolognese, only Maury could only go on what he thought was in a bolognese, uh-huh. which, of course, was bologna.
Oh, my God.
So Maury's recipe for bolognese was in a blender. It was bologna...
Sour cream,
yogurt, Parmesan cheese, and mayonnaise.
Wow.
All mixed in.
You blend it all together.
So what
you
do,
put
Lydia.
That on top of your pasta. But I blended it cold, and then I put it in the microwave.
That's sacrilege.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, you're going to hell. You're going to hell. It wasn't just a bad meal. That's actually the thing that's going to send you to
tell
hell.
Tell me, how does it taste?
I didn't eat it. Mocha did.
Mocha, tell me.
Disgusting. Yeah. You don't want to include it in your next recipe book, Lydia. We love you so much. Thank you for visiting the Roz
Thanks,
and Mocha
guys.
Show.
Thanks, guys. Bye-bye.
You.
This is the Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Oh, God, we're taking it back to the beginning of the decade, basically.
So I'm trying to wrap my head around
this beef.
Nick Cannon, Eminem beef that's happening.
It's a couple of dads going at it.
So I guess Eminem is claiming that he dated Mariah Carey back in 2001. Allegations that Mariah has always denied. And then because M did a verse on Fat Joe's track, Lord Above. Where he refers to Mariah as a nut job.
I know, word to the terror squad, Joe. This is all puns aside, though. I know me and Mariah didn't end on a high note. But that other dude's whip, that got him neutered. Tried to tell him this chick's a nut job before he got his jewels clipped. Almost got my caboose kicked. Fool quit, you're not gonna do I let her chop my off too before I lost to you, Nick.
Oh, there we go.
I should quit watching news clips, yeah. Balls are too big. I should be talking pool, cause I got scratched. So my pocket's full and I'm taking shots at you. Let me drop the cue stick. I'm over the top like Cool Whip, and I promise you.
Alright, okay. So there you go. So I don't know. Eminem's rapping about Mariah Carey and Nick Cannon. And then so Nick Cannon dropped a diss track called The Invitation, where he fires back at Eminem. And he make references to Eminem's ex-wife Kim and his daughter Haley. One of the lines that he says is, call Kim, somebody get Haley, and that other kid you raising that ain't even your baby.
Ooh. Doesn't he? And he has
Eminem.
Suge Knight.
Yeah, and Nick
calling
Cannon.
Calling from jail?
Yeah. Like
in the song?
Yeah, he put Suge on the
number
song.
Number will be monitored and recorded.
Check this out, Eminem, whatever your name is, right? You know, I don't ever do no talking, but Nick is family. This is your invitation. The fool gave everybody else. What you about? What it takes off?
No song.
Eminem's
coming back, that's a fact, it's the invitation. Told Joe to lean back, don't get hit with this retaliation. So I with crack, but the white boy, he with crack. Pills and smash, Jaden about to relapse. Call Kim, somebody get Haley. And that other kid you raising, that ain't even your baby. Took a page out of Drake book, this might get a Grammy. We going back to back till you respond on the family.
Okay, and everybody's like, oh my God, Nick Cannon, you're so embarrassing. But I will say this for Eminem. Like, aside from all the stupid, like, back and forth and fighting stuff, like, when he makes that comment, call Kim, somebody get Haley, and that other kid you raised and that ain't even your baby. Like, as far as I know, Eminem has his daughter, Haley,
yes,
but that he's raising two other kids, one of which, like, I think, like, the mom died. Like, he took in a kid who's, like, mom OD'd.
Oh, shoot.
Right? Like, that's like a hero move.
Yeah.
Not
that's
a...
no-fly zone, Nick Cannon.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, to goof on that. And I... Because, like... And he, so,
that's
the other...
Blow.
The other... So, his other kid is the wife's kid from another relationship that Eminem actually adopted, right? And then,
oh, that's nice.
And then the other kid, who's neither of theirs, is I think the kid of his wife's sister who died.
Oh,
I think that's the story. So, like to go in on a guy who pulls like a hero move and takes in a kid who's like mom died.
Yeah,
it's such a weird thing to go in on.
It's an odd beef.
Yeah.
Like for it to be brought up again, like, it's hilarious.
Yeah.
That these two guys are going at each other. Yeah.
Especially because Nick and Mariah Carey aren't together anymore.
No.
Like,
yo, does Nick Cannon still have that giant Mariah tat?
Oh, yeah.
On his back?
No, he doesn't.
He doesn't?
Got it removed?
No.
Really? Oh, he got a big thing over top of it. He got it all covered.
Oh, no. What? Like wings or something?
I don't know.
Yeah?
And then
that was a huge tattoo. It went shoulder to shoulder.
And then Eminem tweeted out, "You mad, bro? Stop lying on my blank.
Ooh.
I never even had a chauffeur, you bougie F."
Ooh.
And then Nick Cannon wrote, "I see your handlers let you use the internet today, Marshall."
Oh, real names.
You know what I mean?
All right, dads, calm down.
Here we go.
The Roz and Mocha Show
podcast.
So Nazem, what's up? It's Roz and Mocha.
What's up?
What's up? So, Nazem, I saw this comment on Instagram, and I wanted to get Mocha in on this. You wrote, "So I've been on the Roz and Mocha show 4 times, one for a Fix My Life, an FML, another one for a Let's Do the News. I've also had my own segment when I, quote, defaced Roz's street sign." Sorry, Roz. Ooh, "And wow. Lately on the Ask Roz and Mocha, and I've listened to the podcast 4 times, basically over 400 episodes. If you add it all up, I've listened to the show since they began. I'm a super fan. I'm a dedicated one, but though all the times that I've been on the show, they never once asked me who my favorite was. And I think I dodge a bullet on that one because I can't pick. Love them all." So, Nazem.
Mm-hmm.
Between Roz and Mocha, who's your favorite?
Okay, I'm going to first say,
what are you doing right now?
Why does it sound so hollow?
I'm in my den.
Are we on speakerphone?
No.
No. Okay, go put your face in the corner so it doesn't echo. Like the Blair Witch Project. Go put your face against the wall.
She's going to get you.
Yeah, and don't turn around. Okay, are you okay. Are you in the corner?
I'm in my room now.
All right, so Nazem, between Roz and Mocha, who's your favorite?
Okay, first I'm going to say what I like with each of you.
Nazem, is there
Nazem,
is there a chance that you can go actually under the bed?
Okay.
Hate a bit of.
Okay. Where are you right now?
Under my blanket.
You're under the blankets. Okay, good. Okay.
Not weird at all.
Okay, everybody listening right now, okay, when you call and your phone is terrible or it's super echoey, before you call, do what Nazem did, and that is crawl under the blankets, put your face in the corner, or get under the bed. That's the only acceptable way to talk to us on the show. Okay, go ahead, Mocha. I'm sorry.
Nazem, under the blankets, between Roz and Mocha, who's your favorite?
First, I'm going to say what I like about each one of you, then I'm going to say who my favorite. So with Roz, I like his attitude. I love his advice because every time I talk with him, he gives great advice. And also, I love his laugh. Like, he has the best laugh there is.
Okay.
And with Mocha, he's sexy.
Oh.
Damn.
And that's really it.
Oh.
Out of the two of you, I love Roz more. So my favorite is Roz.
Interesting. You went for brains over body, huh? There's a part of me that feels that you might be confused as to which one is Roz and which one is Mocha.
Do you know
to be
who
honest
Roz and
you.
Mocha are? Like,
yeah, no, because I remember I saw one of your billboards.
Yeah,
and honestly, for a moment when I saw Mocha, I literally thought he was Idris Elba.
You thought Mocha was Idris Elba?
Yes.
That, take that, Mocha. As somebody who many times in their life,
wow,
the only redeemable attribute that somebody has managed to muster as a compliment is being sexy. Take it as a win.
Yo, Idris Elba, though.
Yes, just take it as a win. So they don't have to find you smart. They don't have to find you funny. If somebody says sexy, don't dig for more. Just take sexy and just like enjoy your week.
All right, Nazem.
Mm-hmm.
So, what are you gonna do now? Like, after you get up from in between the sheets?
Go to the gym.
Yeah, okay, go to the gym. All right.
Get swole.
All right, Nazem in the under the sheets. thanks for calling in, man.
Yeah, thanks for being here.
Here we go. The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Camila Cabello had gone for a real long time without, like, remember when she and Shawn Mendes were like, we're not really together, you know, whatever, our tongues touched, but it doesn't mean anything, right?
Snuggling all up in a pool, arms wrapped around each other.
But I like it
now.
Holding
hands.
I know. I like when these people.
What do you mean these people?
When they get to the point of where they just freely start talking about their relationship, because it makes everybody else's job so much easier. But I also start to worry, because when they wrap so much of their life into their relationship, I start thinking of Bennifer. You know, Ben and Jen started dating, and then their entire world just became about the two of them.
Yeah.
They did that movie together. Like, everything they did was like underneath that brand, and it happened really fast. And I worry now that...
What's that movie again?
Geely.
Oh, Geely.
What was
it about? I don't even know.
It was about she was gay and he was going to turn her, and then she had a brother with special needs and they were on the run and there was mobs. Great. And yeah, anyway.
Wow.
But I worry, because when you tie so much of your relationship into your product, when it goes bad, the fans are the only ones that lose. You know what I mean? So anyway, she's doing a lot of talking about Shawn Mendes. I happen to love it at this point. I just worry that, you know, these young relationships don't last forever. And when they do, it's just awful. And then forever, they just shut up. They do so much talking about the relationship at this point, and then if they ever get burned again, they just never talk about it. You know, like, remember when Ryan Reynolds was married to he was with Scarlett Johansson and Alanis Morissette?
No.
And Ryan Reynolds, all he would do, he was the most hilarious person because he had the greatest relationship stories. And then as soon as he got out of those relationships, now he never says a word about Blake Lively. Like, he will. He might jokes, but he doesn't open up about the relationship.
He'll roast her on social.
He used to talk about staring at Alanis Morissette naked. You know what I mean? Like,
oh, wow.
Yeah, like he would give some serious detail.
Come on, Vance Reynolds.
Detail. Yeah.
I'll be doing that to your girl.
Anyway, so this is, there's a little bit of Camila Cabello. I don't know which part you want to hear, but she's doing a lot of talking about Ryan Reynolds, Shawn Mendes.
And he's very, like, I feel like he feels this need to kind of, like, lift the weight of whatever is hurting him in order for him to be free. And I think that, you know, when his heart is hurting, he really feels it. And then he does what he needs to do in order to feel better. And I think also he's just very, like, he's, like, the most transparent, honest person that I've ever met.
Want to hear her talk about First Man? Remember that song First Man we played a little bit of earlier this week?
It's a love song.
It's a love song about, maybe it was Friday. Was it Friday? It was Friday. It's sort of like a love song tribute to two men, and it's done in the most beautiful way. And it's a song she wrote about her dad and Shawn Mendes.
Yes, I'm gonna stay with him tonight. He won't drink and drive. Can you say bye to mom for me? Oh, you like him, he's really kind. And he's funny like you sometimes.
Ooh, dang,
right?
Girl.
And this is her talking about First Man.
That's a good song, dude.
Dude.
Proudest song I've ever written in my life. This song for me, writing it, I remember I was in the studio and I had to literally go to the bathroom to just cry. This song is basically about when I was in my first serious relationship. I had never like brought a boy home before. You know, my dad hadn't seen me like, you know, dating or whatever. He was just like very like sensitive about it. He was like, well, wow, like my, you know, my little girl is growing up. And I think that's the first time that he really felt that. And so he was like, felt really protective over me. And it was, I just think that is the sweetest thing.
This is the Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
A Starbucks store in downtown Toronto is down one employee.
Oh, I saw this. Is it the video of the guy quitting?
Yes.
Okay.
So the video just shows this guy with a guitar around his neck. Customers everywhere, and he is not behind the counter. He's actually in the actual area where people are seated.
Right.
And he starts singing this song.
Dear manager, I've been working here for so long. I've got something that I want to tell you. So I thought I would sing in a song.
So it goes on and on and on.
It's F-U-I quit. I don't want to work for somebody who treats their employees like the word that rhymes with quit.
Quit, right.
So I feel, I'm always fishy about these videos.
Anesty Daniels. Can I tell you, I don't really believe that. I don't believe that he worked there, and I don't believe anything about the story. Maybe
you don't believe anything about the story.
No, maybe because I'm just so jaded by stories that go viral, then you find out days later that it turns out that it's not real.
I know.
Because like nobody's reacting.
I guess there was
a story on this in, was it the Toronto Sun? The Toronto Sun. Where they were like, this guy chumped out by singing this song, and it's a song dedicated to his manager, and his manager wasn't even there that day.
Oh, the guy wasn't even there? The boss wasn't there?
The boss wasn't there, who the song's about. That's kind of a...
I don't know. Like, I don't know.
If you're going to go out in a blaze of glory like that...
Yeah. I'm just so... And I wish I wasn't so skeptical. Like, the world has now made me more of a skeptic for these things than I ever was, because I would like to think that somebody wrote a cool song and went in and quit with an acoustic guitar in front of customers. I like to think that I live in that world. But the more and more times I see these videos, I'm like, it's just orchestrated to go viral.
Yeah.
Like the intent is to go viral.
So this guy, when I was going through his social media, he's a comedian, right?
Nobody stopped him, right? Either.
No, nobody stopped him, which is another reason why I feel like the video's not real. Either nobody stopped him because it was fake, or nobody stopped him because the other customers who were there just didn't care.
Yeah. So do you think that he didn't even work there?
I think he doesn't even work there.
I think he
just showed up, had a buddy film, and then he dipped.
But
I could be wrong.
That's hard to convince people of, because that's very easy to fact check.
Yeah, I guess. Right? But
who knows what Starbucks that was, right? Like, who knows?
College in Dovercourt.
Oh, it was?
Yeah.
Oh, you know that?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So, like, nobody went and followed up with, like, his ex-coworkers, his ex-manager, unless they're just not allowed to say anything at this point.
Well, I mean, I don't think they're making baristas sign NDAs in 2019. You know what I mean? I mean, I know Starbucks is it's a big corporation.
You got that non-compete clause?
Yeah. No, I don't think the non-disclosure agreement going on there. I think you're allowed to tell the story about the time the guy said the F word with the guitar while you were making somebody a latte. I don't think you have to keep that stuff quiet.
Here we go.
The Roz and Mocha Show
podcast.
I just need 4 more days in the minuses and Roz has to make me a lasagna.
Yeah. It's not going to happen. I told Maury once it's -5 for 5 days in a row. Once it's below 0 for 5 days in a row, then I'll make lasagna. And this was
like, now you're backing out?
No.
Oh.
It's not going to happen.
It'll have to happen.
Well, later, after Christmas.
Yeah, for sure after Christmas.
Yeah.
My bets are on next week.
No, way after Christmas.
Yeah.
Way after Christmas.
Wait, hold on. If it's on the 5th day, do you get the lasagna on the 5th day, or it's
I don't know, man. I'm just going to make a lasagna and I'll bring it in for you.
Don't get angry.
Why not? You're like,
weird it is.
You
make working with someone who like begs you for food,
right?
No, but he makes the bet, and now he's getting all angry.
But
about
like,
the
just
bet.
Congratulate him on making the best lasagna.
I didn't make the bet.
Yes, we made.
No, you're like, you're so like, like all over my stuff for me to make you food, right? And then I'm like, it's too hot to make lasagna.
Well,
like,
don't make it weird.
You make it weird. I'm fine to never discuss this again. Like, I'm fine to never discuss this.
You're backing out?
I'm not backing out. I'll make lasagna when it's -5 for 5 days in a row.
Holy cow.
Just leave the guy alone.
You're 41 years old, bro.
You know what I mean?
You want lasagna? Go make a lasagna.
Right. I don't need to. I just need it to be -5.
No, but I'm like, just go, like, you know how many places you can find a lasagna in the city? It's a great food city.
Literally everywhere.
Everywhere you can find a lasagna. I know.
You can go to the grocery store. You can go to a restaurant.
You call Pizza Pizza, they'll bring you a slice of lasagna.
Yes, they will.
Or you just wait for -5 days in a row, and then I get one.
Yeah, sure. Just then wait.
I've been patiently waiting.
No, you have not.
No.
There's nothing about what you're doing right now shows patience.
Yeah. This is the definition of not being patient whatsoever.
Yeah.
No, and I'm just sort of rehashing everything.
No. Also, are you going on another stupid juice cleanse?
Yes, today's day one.
No, you're not allowed. Why are you paying for it?
Why are you doing that?
Because my husband insisted.
Why did your husband insist?
What?
He said you have to do a juice cleanse.
Why?
So that you look good in pictures.
Yo, can you imagine?
I can't imagine it happened.
Yeah, it's true.
That's like super rude, bro.
Oh, the room's spinning.
Yeah.
That's super rude.
Yeah. You're probably going to get one thing more. You're going to look like a supervillain. You're going to have to wear like some sort of like respiratory mask just for walking around, not even for sleeping.
Yeah, you're
like,
not
even like to sleep after
you
mask.
The worst is when you're on a cleanse.
You.
Yeah.
Are you sure cleanses are even good? Because I think the world has gone off cleanses more. I don't think people are doing juice cleanses anymore,
really,
man.
They're really happy to take my money.
Yeah, of course they are. You know who else is like a heroin dealer would be happy to take your money?
This is the Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Kawhi Leonard back in the city today.
Oh, yeah!
Never gets old.
They're doing a big ceremony for him tonight.
Yep.
A tribute followed by a ring presentation. His championship ring.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, July, August, September, October, November. Yeah, wait, 6 months?
Yeah.
After you win the championship, to get your ring?
I know.
That's not cool.
Now, it's a little slimy. It's like you break up with somebody and, you know, you're like, hey, man, can you just send me my stuff? Like, I don't have a lot. It's like, just send me my stuff. No, you want your stuff. You got to come back here and get it. But,
like, what's the cutoff, you think, for him to be like, I don't want it anymore?
I mean, I don't think he's going to say I don't want it anymore.
Because,
but I would be like,
the season started in October.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And the Raptors were all given their rings. I think the right thing to do, what the NBA should have done, was send Kawhi his ring like within the week that the Raptors got theirs.
He should have got it the same day.
Or the same day.
Right?
Don't wait until.
No, I know. Unless this is something, I don't know enough about things. Yeah, I'm sure that this is something that is orchestrated and has happened before, and Kawhi's representatives are in on it, and they've all come up with this plan, and they looked at the schedule, and they said, we want to do a big thing in Toronto. Like, I'm sure everybody's in on it. Like, I don't think anybody's been
that
shape.
You think Kawhi cares, though, with his kind of attitude?
No.
Like, he's just so laid back and just nonchalant.
Yeah, I think that if Kawhi returned to Toronto within, like, the first month and a half of the season, you know, I think that that's fine. Maybe within the first month of the season, that's fine.
I agree.
But we're in, you know, middle of December now.
Yeah.
You know,
that's what I'm saying.
Teams are already eliminated from the playoffs, right? You know what I mean? Like, it's a little bit late.
This is the Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Fans, please welcome back Kawhi Leonard!
Man.
Congratulations, Kawhi! The North!
Dude, the entire country was all about Kawhi last night.
Yeah, no, I know.
This was such a important game. Like, I don't know if you saw the picture that went around. I think it was ESPN. Somebody from ESPN who took the photo. Or no, sorry, it was the Clippers.
Yeah.
It came from the Clippers account, their Twitter account. And it was Kawhi standing inside of Scotiabank Arena.
Right.
And it looked like every single reporter from every sports agency across North America was standing around him. It was an incredible photo.
Yeah.
His big return to Toronto since dipping in July. And like people, I'd never seen more Kawhi Leonard jerseys in an arena as I did last night. I don't even think anyone in Clipper Nation wears as many jerseys when the Clippers play at home.
Isn't that crazy? It's wild. Wild.
But it was insane. How just was, following on social media to
how
see.
How was he emotionally? When did he show any emotion at all? No, he just stood there and like whatever and then walked
away. Are you asking like if he... if he Kawhi'd?
Yeah. Did they make a speech when they get a ring or no? They just give him the ring.
No,
and then
just
he
give
gets,
him the ring.
Yeah.
So they put together a video and it was great. It was produced really, really well.
Yeah.
It's different from the video that the Raptors released two nights ago.
Oh, okay, cool.
But then they presented him with the ring and all the Raptors are standing there in a line and he just like walks up and says, "What's up to everybody?" And I don't know, maybe he was like in the zone, but Serge Ibaka, when he saw Kawhi and was just like, they shook hands.
Yeah.
And then Serge's face, he had a Kawhi face, just stone cold.
Really, yeah?
Yeah. And then the last person in line was Kyle Lowry, who presented Kawhi with the ring.
Yeah.
And they shared a laugh. It was the first time I'd seen Kawhi laugh, to be honest with you. And they hugged. And then he like looked at the ring.
Yeah.
And walked over and handed it to somebody else on the team.
Yeah.
And then it was like, it's go time. It's game time.
Who won? I didn't even score the game last night. Oh, no. Oh, no. Why?
It took an NBA champion to beat the NBA champions.
It took an NBA champion to beat... Oh, no, really?
Yeah, 112-92, we lost.
Oh. Kawhi played great?
No, Kawhi actually... did play great.
Yeah.
Listen to what he says that's inscribed inside of his ring.
Inside the ring?
Yeah.
I have my, I have a logo in there and it's on my middle finger. So it reminds me to put it on my middle finger. So I have a, like a FU symbol on there.
And he has like the middle finger emoji engraved in his ring.
That's like the most Kawhi thing.
It's the best.
The most Kawhi thing. But of course, he had to talk about the fans too, right?
They did a great job last year of embracing me, embracing the team and helping us get to the finals and just cheering us on our whole way, you know, throughout that whole journey. So it wasn't even about tonight. They already did the great job last year.
This is the Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
So as Bieber got Guan and... in the new year, is it new music or is Haley pregnant and they're expecting a kid?
I don't know if he would do that kind of announcement for that because we had to wait a really long time before they even showed wedding pictures, right? Like they show a lot of themselves on a day-to-day thing, but those sorts of moments, really historically, they've kept rather private, I would say, Bieber, compared to others.
Bieber put on
IG. So what did he do?
It just simply reads 2020. That's
It has to be new music. Has to be new music. Because he popped up on a couple people as a feature and stuff this year. So he's sort of getting back into it.
So like his last three posts on IG are all of the exact same picture. Black background. And then in white, it just reads 2020. Yeah. The year 2020.
Now is he going to do an album to God like what Kanye did? Because Bieber's that guy now. Right? He's very involved in that church in Southern California. Very involved.
Maybe. I wonder.
And he said many times that this is the reason that he is able to now do what he does was because of that and the involvement in that church and with the people who run it and everything else. Like, I'm wondering if he is now sort of going to move into that direction as well.
Yeah, because when you
Maybe not as hardcore as what Kanye did.
When you scroll through his IG, those three posts that read 2020, the three before that are IGTV videos of guided prayers.
Yeah, yeah. I'm telling you, that's his thing now. So I'm wondering if he's going to sort of separate the two or do a kind of hybrid of a sort of spiritual pop record or if he's just going to go full on, this is my Jesus album.
Oof.
Did that Kanye record sell at all? I know people streamed it a ton, but did it sell?
No. I don't know.
Yeah.
I listened to the album 3 times, maybe.
Yeah, that's it.
Not my thing.
Have you ever listened to anything that Kanye has ever done only 3 times?
No, this is the first album that I've ever, and I'm a huge Kanye fan.
Yeah.
Like, huge.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's the only album that I listened to. The first time, I was like, not into it. Let me give it another listen. Second time, still not into it. So, okay, last time. And by the end of the third time, I was like, this isn't the album for me.
No.
I miss the old Kanye.
Yeah.
Here we go.
The Roz and Mocha Show
podcast.
You going to be into it this time?
Oh, Mocha, are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
I was a little pitchy just then. hey, Mocha, are you ready?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Let's do the news!
A Roz and Mocha Show and KISS 92.5 News Break.
A Jennifer Lopez fan was on a flight. So he's a writer. He writes for MEL magazine. He's the culture writer, a guy named Joseph Longo.
Meow?
And he was on MEL, not Meow magazine.
MEL.
Yeah,
okay, no. MEL magazine.
He's not the culture writer for Meow magazine.
Meow.
So he was on a flight, on a JetBlue flight from New York to Los Angeles, and he tweeted, in honor of J-Lo's Golden Globe nomination this morning, I will make sure everyone on this flight watches Hustlers. And then he tweeted again, hey, JetBlue, there are definitely Oscar voters on this New York to LA flight. Please make an announcement.
La-di-da.
And then so the pilot, I guess somebody who checks the tweets on JetBlue.
I hope it wasn't the pilot that's be scrolling Twitter.
Right.
Imagine. Autopilot.
Makes this announcement. It's sort of hard to hear because the guy's recording it off his phone.
Yeah.
But the pilot basically says that Hustlers is available on the in-flight entertainment system and that everybody should, in fact, watch Hustlers.
Ladies and gentlemen, we do have a special request from one of our customers, Mr. Joseph Longo.
And then I guess because he had tweeted that he was a make-believe backup dancer for J-Lo or whatever. And then J-Lo wrote, this is amazing. You could be my backup dancer any day. And she goes, thank you so much for your support. And then Lorraine Scafaria, who directed the movie, tweeted, thank you, Joseph, and thank you, JetBlue. And then JetBlue responded, thank you and all the other creative folks that make amazing content to show on board. Congrats to you all. So that's how you get stuff
done,
man.
When he was making that announcement, it sounded like he was making the announcement while rolling his eyes at the same time. God, I just want to fly this plane and get the hell out of here.
Well, there you go. Sometimes you got to deal with stuff like that, though, man. Pete Faraday's the former college basketball player whose battle with Lou Gehrig's disease helped inspire the ALS Ice Bucket Challenge. Passed away. He was 34 years old. In total, the Ice Bucket Challenge, if you remember that, because that was one of the...
Everybody did that.
It took off, and when it took off, it was just incredible. They raised more than $200 million worldwide. For ALS and Lou Gehrig's disease. Also, the singer of Roxette passed away, Marie Fredriksson.
What?
Died at 61. This was the first song that I ever remember Roxette. This was the look. Because remember, it was her and a guy, right?
Wasn't it only ever her and the guy?
Yeah, but sometimes he would sing and then sometimes she would sing. Do you remember the song?
I know.
Go to the next one. Okay, hold on here.
One of my mom's 80s mixtapes.
No. This is... You'll know this one, yeah.
Yo.
Okay.
Hold on, bro. Yeah, sing it. Yo, air horn one time.
She and Per Giselle created Roxette in 1986. She passed away yesterday morning. Right? What song was this called?
Like you don't know.
I don't
like
know.
Right here.
Oh, must have been love. Thank you.
It must have been love, but it's over now.
And what was their other big one? You got one more in there.
Oh,
what
like you don't
one?
Know.
Oh, yeah. What's this one called? Listen to my heart. Listen to your heart. Right? Listen to that. listen to my heart?
Listen, don't play like you don't know.
I'm trying to remember, bro. Listen, I'm not sending out my rock set. Yeah. Woo, baby. Bangers, huh?
Yo, R.I.P. Roxette.
Yeah. So yeah, Marie Fredriksson passed away 86 after following a battle of
86.
A long... No, sorry, 61. My bad.
61.
They formed in 86. She was following a long battle with an illness. They didn't say which illness, but 61 years old for Marie Fredriksson. Where the hell does Apple get off selling a $73,000 computer?
What? 73 grand?
Yeah, yeah. If you max out the new Mac Pro, if you max it out, like you get all the...
You upgrade all them VXs?
The DDR4 ECC memory and the wheels and the turbo boost. And these are all real things that I'm saying, by the way. I'm not making these up. So like the base price in Canada is $7,499. And then the display starts at $6,000 and goes up to $8,700. Right? And then
just the display.
And then when you add the D44 R4 ECC memory, that's an extra 30 grand.
Because you need that memory.
30 grand in memory.
Yeah.
And then
I got a lot of the things I got to store.
You know what I mean? So anyway, so when you max it out, it's $73,396.
That's a lot of fees.
Okay, you know what I mean? Right? Like, come on, man.
Okay, I have a question.
What?
If I max it out, right?
Yeah.
Can I fly a rocket into space from my computer?
Probably. You can fly a rocket into space from most computers.
From my phone?
Sure.
73 grand?
You can fly a drone on your phone, man.
That's true.
You know? But yeah, $72,000 is what it is. There is a man who claims that his farts can kill mosquitoes and that he has been hired to create a mosquito repellent from his farts. Guy's name is, listen, hear me out, okay? Guy's name is Joe. He's 48 years old from Kampala, Uganda. And he says companies have launched a study into the chemical properties of his farts. The man says that no one in his home village has ever contracted malaria because his powers knock out insects over a 6-mile radius.
Six miles?
If that's true, that's so far. That would make his fart fallout zone larger than Hiroshima.
Come on, man.
There's a local barber named James Urawi who says that Joe is known all over the city as the man who can kill mosquitoes with his farts. However, he does go on to say that he is respectful of people around him and will only fart when there's mosquitoes around.
Claims
that Joe's farts have evolved into something that can combat malaria merged online yesterday, but the two companies linked to him were not identified and the claims could not be verified. Oh, man, come on. Oh, I want to get into this. So Google released their top trends for the year.
Okay.
Top trending song lyrics. So these are the most searched. Old Town Road, Shallow by Bradley Cooper and Lady Gaga, Seven Rings, Ariana Grande, Senorita, Someone Like You. Top trending musicians or bands. You want to take a crack at this? The top trending musicians or bands, according to Google, for the year.
Drake.
No.
Billie Eilish.
Number three, Billie Eilish.
Lizzo,
number nine.
Shawn Mendes?
No.
Is Justin Bieber still on that list?
No. So number five is...
Oh, Lil Nas X.
Lil Nas X is number seven.
Oh.
At number five is 21 Savage.
Yeah.
At number four is Motley Crue. At number three is Billie Eilish. At number two is R. Kelly.
No.
And at number one, Freddie Mercury.
Oh, I was going to say Michael Jackson.
No, Freddie Mercury. Top trending searches in Toronto. So you got Raptors number one, Kawhi Leonard number two, Canadian election results number three, Luke Perry number four, Cameron Boyce number five. Where are we here? There's another one that I wanted to do. Oh, top trending movies of the year.
Ooh!
Top trending movies of the year.
Endgame has to be.
Endgame number one.
Hey!
Captain Marvel number two, Joker number three, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood number four, Lion King number five. Top trending TV shows, Game of Thrones, Stranger Things, Chernobyl, Dirty John, and Tidying Up with Marie Kondo.
the
cleanup lady on Netflix.
All right.
Top trending questions that start with why in Toronto.
Why are taxes so high?
Why
did Kawhi leave? Why are there so many
songs about rainbows?
Why are there not enough songs about rainbows?
Number one was Why is Toronto Called the Six? Number two is Why did Don Cherry get fired?
Number three
is Why is blackface offensive?
That's a third one. People have to search to know why that's wrong.
Number four is Why is it called Good Friday? And number five is Why am I always tired?
Valid. Big facts. Valid.
For the first time in its 20-year history, a contestant on Survivor was kicked off the show before it finished.
What?
Cast member was kicked off the show for inappropriate behavior. His name is Dan Spilo, and he was warned earlier in the season about being too handsy with the women. But this latest incident was the one that put him over the edge. But it did not involve, they said, a cast member. What happened was, is I guess on the show, they made mention of the incident the first time. And then it was all handled off air with producers and everything else. Because I guess he was handsy with other contestants.
Yeah.
And then something happened off camera where it was with a production staff member.
They're not saying what.
Then they went and brought it to the people above them. And then he was removed from the show. And then Jeff Probst had to tell the contestants that he was gone.
So I just spoke privately with Dan, and I want to update you guys. A decision has been made, and Dan will not be returning to the game. He won't be coming back to camp. He won't be on the jury. He's gone.
He added that Dan was not happy when he found out that they were removing him from the game, but after a long talk, he was, quote, very respectful on his way out. Harvey Weinstein and dozens of his accusers tentatively agreed to a $25 million settlement, but listen to the catches with this. So the New York
Times is a catch.
Oh, brah. So the New York Times reports that after 2 years of legal negotiations, Weinstein has reached a $25 million settlement agreement with dozens of his alleged victims, in which he would not be required to admit wrongdoing and would not have to pay any of the individual accusers out of his own pocket.
What?
The deal, which is still pending court approval, would be paid out by insurance companies representing the Weinstein Company.
So he doesn't admit.
Right.
And he doesn't pay out of pocket.
Correct. Under the terms of the proposed settlement, which must now be finalized, this, by the way, has no bearing on the criminal proceedings that Weinstein is up for. Ashley Judd, who was said that she intends to take Weinstein to court, is not part of this deal, nor are similarly high-profile actresses and accusers like Gwyneth Paltrow, Angelina Jolie, and Selma Hayek. So there you go with that. Anyway, Last Jedi was the movie that J.J. Abrams sort of then had to go and follow up with The Rise of Skywalker. And we know The Last Jedi was polarizing for a lot of people. And I've seen lately a lot of people redoing their sort of Star Wars list where they're trying to change the narrative of The Last Jedi and put it much higher on the list. I was looking at lists yesterday where they have it as high as second.
The Last Jedi?
Yes. Now, when they're promoting The Rise of Skywalker, it's interesting because both J.J. Abrams, Daisy Ridley, and John Boyega are sort of taking shots at The Last Jedi, which to me seems a weird way to promote The Rise of Skywalker, by throwing like slight shade at The Last Jedi. But J.J. Abrams talked to the New York Times, talking about The Last Jedi. He said it was full of surprises and bold choices, but, quote, on the other hand, it's a bit of a meta approach to the story. I don't think that people go to Star Wars to be told this doesn't matter. Daisy Ridley said she cried when she heard that J.J. Abrams was back on doing the next Star Wars because of the safety that he provides to the set. John Boyega had a more pointed reaction. They say, quote, even as a normal person in the audience, I wanted to see where that story was going, meaning The Force Awakens. And he goes on to say,
yes.
Yeah, exactly, right? He goes on to say the story that J.J. Abrams set up in The Force Awakens, and that was, in his opinion, thrown for a loop in The Last Jedi. And in a separate interview with Hyperbeast, John Boyega said that he disagreed with a lot of the choices in The Last Jedi and said that the movie felt, quote, iffy to him. Ooh. So it's a weird thing to sort of build up The Rise of Skywalker by the cast distancing themselves from The Last Jedi. It's interesting. It's a weird play. Normally, you would just leave that alone.
Yeah.
But it's a weird, it's a weird play.
We're now 7 days away.
I know.
Oh, I can't wait.
Kevin Hart was on with Ellen talking about his recovery after that car accident. And the sort of little things, the milestones that you achieve within recovery from something like a back injury.
You don't realize that your back is connected to everything. Yeah. So the first goal was wiping my ass. True story. You're laughing. The first thing was me saying, yo, I don't like the fact, honey, that you got to come in and you got to get me together. My first goal is to get you out of this position. And I learned how to like stretch. And the biggest triumph is when I put my socks on one day. Ran around the house. I got my socks on. You ain't have to do it. I did it myself. It was the biggest thing.
Oh my God.
Yeah, he's totally right about that.
And now it's time for Ask Roz and Mocha.
We got some good questions this week, Roz. This is everything that you asked via Instagram at Kiss925.
I love it.
How you doing, Brittany?
Hi, good morning. How are you guys?
Doing great. What's the question that you have for us?
So my question is, how do you have a Christmas tree in the house when you have a cat? My cat likes to climb in the tree.
Oh, no.
And take it down. Yeah.
Oh, no. Geez. Like, what does your cat do? Like, climb in there and just start knocking off all the ornaments?
He likes to do that, but he also, the other night I had to sleep on the couch because I had a super bad cold, and I woke up with the Christmas tree on top of me, and it's a real tree.
Oh, knocks down the entire tree!
Wow.
Oh, man. So I'm going to have to defer to Roz on this one because I don't have a cat. Yeah. We have a dog at home, and he... you know what? I don't even think he doesn't mess with the tree at all.
No, dogs don't care. It's funny. We had two sort of older cats, and then last year, Christmas, we had a baby cat in the house, and she would just straight up crawl inside the tree and hide.
Yeah.
Aww.
And we'd come home, we'd be like, where's Coco? And then you would just like look through the tree until you found two eyes staring back at you.
Yeah.
And then I have to reach in and get her. But she just went in and chilled, right?
Just wanted to, right. Found a comfy spot.
Yeah. And then Coco passed away, which was extremely sad. And now we have Moo Moo, who is like the worst.
Oh, really?
Oh, he's such a bugger. Right. And so
does he mess with the tree?
We deliberately took all the ornaments off the bottom of the tree and moved them higher. But we left him just like two plastic baubles on the bottom. And he goes and he sits there like it's a speed bag, like he's Rocky training, where he just speed bags these two baubles. Right. And then he climbs up as high as he can, but he doesn't have a lot of upper body strength because he's a wuss, right? You know what I mean? I make fun of him all the time.
The cat needs to go to the gym.
Yes, yeah, like every time he tries to jump on the couch and falls off, I laugh.
Oh, man. How old is he again?
Oh, 10 weeks?
You're laughing at a 10-week-old? Oh, man. That's so sad.
Yeah, and so...
Oh, you got a new cat.
We did. We got a new baby, yeah.
Oh, no. Yeah. Poor Moo Moo.
Yeah, he's real. He's a cat, all right.
apparently weak as...
Yeah, he is. Okay, so I don't have that problem where they tip the tree over. Do you have a real tree or a fake tree?
It's a real tree, so I had sap on me and on the nose.
Yeah. So we used to, when I was growing up, because we had a cat, and we had to tie the tree to the wall.
Seriously?
Yeah, yeah.
Otherwise the cat would jump in it and tip the whole thing over. So we ran from the sort of lower half, below the center of gravity half. We had cord wrapped around, tied around the stem of the tree.
Oh,
and
no.
Then it shot off into two sort of strings off the back of the tree. And we had to put hooks in the wall and tie the string to the hooks. You couldn't see them because the tree was in the corner. But we had to put hooks in the wall and tie the string off so the cat couldn't take it down. That was the only way
stupid
to do it.
Cats.
And that's what people do. You tie the tree to the wall.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Right.
There you go, Brittany.
So now we have it tied to the curtain rod, but he still likes the ornaments and he's just super menace. So
yeah, and looks, what are you gonna do? I mean, that's just what cats do. They just mess that stuff up, right? Like I have
he's
one,
only a year old, so hopefully he grows out of it.
You know when you see those cats on on the internet where they just sit on a table and something will be on that table and they just casually knock it off?
Yeah.
Right? One of our other cats is like that, right? Like I can't leave my phone on the kitchen table. Because he'll just be like, that's where my butt goes. And he just knocks it right off, right? So you get used to all of that stuff. But with the one thing that we do around the holidays, especially with the new dumb baby, is we have an abundance of toys.
Yeah.
Right? That are all over the floor. Little tiny toys that have bells on them and they make bird sounds and they do all this stuff. So every time he sort of walks over to the tree, I look for the closest one on the floor closest to me and I kick it at him.
Yeah.
Right?
Right. And then look at this.
Yeah. And then it hits him in the ass and then he starts playing with the toy for a while and he leaves the tree alone.
Oh, there you go.
My floor right now, there's so many cat toys everywhere because you have to have one within kicking distance so you can kick it at the cat
if he starts to do something
that he's not allowed to do.
So there you go, Brittany.
He eats the metal chair.
Oh, idiot.
Right?
Yeah. Like but also, he's only 10 weeks. He's got to learn that you don't eat the metal chair.
Yeah, no, he's not smart, though.
Dumb 10-week-old. So I think that's what you're going to have to do, Brittany. You've already taken care of tying the Christmas tree to the curtain rod. You're going to have to load up the floor in front of the Christmas tree with toys to distract your dumb cat.
Sounds good. That's a great tip. Thank you. Yeah.
Thank you for joining us on the podcast, and thank you for listening.
Thank you so much. I'm a huge fan. I've only been listening for a year, but I feel I know you guys inside and out. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I just started last February, or I guess not even a year.
Oh, less than a year. So where are you from? Where are you from?
You know where Stovall is? It's just near Markham.
Yep.
The Roz and Mocha Show has been on for over 10 years now on the radio in Toronto. How did you discover us only less than a year ago?
So before for work, I would just go into an office. But now since I'm on the road, I was looking for podcasts. So I initially came across your podcast and then... Ever since I listened to one episode, I binged them all and I'm done. And so now I just listen to your show live and just wait patiently every week for the podcast.
Hold on a second. You listened to all the podcasts before you started listening to the radio show?
Yeah.
That's so unconventional. It's so weird to know. It's really crazy. Yeah. It's really mind-blowing how people just consume things. Like it's really wild to me that you sort of... How did you find the show through podcasts? Like what did you search for?
I honestly thought of that like recently and I have no idea at all. I don't know if it was just advertisements and then it was just embedded somewhere in my head and then I just thought of it. But ever since I listened to one, I couldn't stop listening enough to listen to the radio. So I'm just constantly listening.
I met somebody. When I'm up at ET Canada, first of all, he was probably about 15.
okay, inappropriate, sir.
Maury's like, huh?
tell me more.
No, and it was interesting because he was part of a school tour. We do a lot of school tours with students who come up who are in like some sort of media class within high school or whatever it was. Yeah. And he came up, and these kids have no idea about anything, right? They don't know the radio. They don't know TV.
They're like your 10-week-old cat. Yeah, they're stupid.
They're stupid.
Right? They don't know anything.
No, but...
Poor kitty.
But what he did know is that he knew the podcast.
Yeah.
And what he made reference to was how much money we spend on billboards advertising our podcast.
Hmm. What?
Yeah, so he thought that all those advertising that we do, because he rides a TTC, takes a TTC to school.
Yeah.
He thought all the advertising that he sees on billboards was advertising for the Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
And not the actual radio show.
There was a radio show.
Really?
No.
So we have ads on the buses and subways. We have television ads. We have billboards all around the city.
Yeah.
And this 15-year-old had no idea that those billboards were for a radio show and not for
zero.
What did he think the logo was?
Nothing. You don't know. You don't know. Everything has a logo on it, right?
Yeah.
But it has numbers.
No, you don't know. The only thing that he knew about this show is that it was a podcast.
Wow. That's crazy.
Yeah. Isn't that nuts?
Damn.
Good to see the advertising's working for the podcast.
15. It's 15 more. It's 15.
Thanks, Brittany. Love you lots.
Thank you so much. Love you guys.
So you're a new listener. Wait, between Roz and Mocha, who's your favorite? Because you know we ask that question a lot.
You're not going to like this. It changed. So the one thing that changed for me, Mocha, is when you blocked Maury on social media on purpose because I was really mean and it was hurtful. So now Roz is my favorite.
Yo, hold on a second. But if you only... That happened in February. In like the third week of February. It was after I got back from Vegas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if you only started listening in February, I was your favorite for 3 weeks and then that's it?
I guess so. I couldn't let go of it. I just felt so bad for Maury because it just seemed so spiteful.
Yeah, it was. Are you still blocked?
I do love you both, but ever since that, I don't know. Wow. It changed.
Well, so I'm not your favorite then?
No, you are. You are.
Oh, I don't know. That's an asterisk to that one.
Wow.
There's an asterisk next to that one.
I find that so interesting.
No, Roz is my favorite because I can be pretty miserable like you sometimes, so I relate.
Asterisk.
You can have that win, bro.
Yeah, thanks.
Oh, no.
All right, well. Thanks.
Thank you, Brittany.
You're both disappointed.
Nah, we love you. We love you.
Thank you so much for calling.
You got it.
Bye.
All right, have a good Christmas.
Bye-bye. Bye. You too.
Crazy Not Rich Asian wrote this. What are the top three things that come up when you type your name into Google?
Oh, jeez.
Okay,
how do I get
here?
To Google? Shush, Maury, shush.
Do you want me to read what yours says, or do you want to like search yourself?
Is it going to be different on my computer, or is it going to be different on your computer?
Roz. Oh, okay. So you tell me what shows up when you type in Roz, and yeah. I'll tell you what shows up on my computer.
No, I could type in Roz Weston.
Weston, okay.
Yeah.
So you get how, so the whatever pulls, like the suggested things.
Yeah.
Okay, here we go.
Yeah.
So you tell me.
On mine, it says Roz Weston salary.
Yeah.
Then it says Roz Weston Instagram.
Uh-huh.
Then it says Roz Weston height, Roz Weston wife, Roz Weston parents, Roz Weston net worth.
Oh, wow.
Roz Weston family, Roz Weston and Catherine, and then Roz Weston and Mocha.
So on my Google, it shows search results. Number one is Roz Weston.
Mm-hmm.
Number two is Roz Weston height. And number three is Roz Weston wife.
Yeah, really? Not salary, huh?
No. Salary shows up 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Sixth is net worth, and eighth is salary.
There was something interesting that, did you send me this, Maury? Where if you search me, hold on, let me click on this.
Yeah, I sent you that.
And then if I just type in your name, just Roz, space.
Yeah.
Automatically, the first three are Roz and Mocha, Roz Weston, Roz and Mocha Show. Followed by Roz and Mocha Podcast.
There was one thing that Maury sent me.
Oh no, and there's one here that says Roz Kelly.
There's one thing that Maury sent me where it was one of those Roz Weston net worth things where they were going through sort of what I do and how much I'm worth. But there was a section that said Roz Weston's real name is Maury Sherman.
What? Get out of here.
Yeah. How much is my net? What did they say my net worth is, Maury?
It was $3 million.
$3 million.
What?
Way off.
It said mine was...
What was yours? Did you do yours?
Yeah, mine was, at the time that I checked, it was, because it may have changed, 200,000.
Hold on, did you type in damn it, Maury? Damn it, Maury.
See, when you type in Mocha in Google, the first one says Mocha, Mocha Toronto, Mocha Menu, Mocha.
You got a hard name to Google, though.
When you type Mocha Frap...
That's even harder.
That's a drink.
Yeah, it's all like Starbucks stuff.
Oh, see, Maury's is Maury name, Maury Sherman height. So damn it, Maury. D-A-M-N-I-T-M-A-U-R-I.
Wasn't there one where when you type in damn it, Maury, the first thing that pops up is a Google image of Maury in a Speedo trying to squeeze a big-ass watermelon in between
his
legs?
There. It's still there.
So you get damn it, Maury Instagram, damn it, Maury Kiss 92.5, damn it, Maury Twitter, damn it, Maury real name, damn it, Maury tattoo. damn it, Maury and Matthew, damn it, Maury husband, and damn it, Maury cameo.
Oh, crap. Wow, look at that.
Is in your top finds.
Yeah, never ever Google image me, ever.
What does it say for Maury's... I can't even... Listen, this is how much money Maury doesn't have. If I type damn it, Maury net, as in net worth, the autofill is damn it, Maury Netflix. It doesn't even want to search for how much money you make.
It's going to crash.
Okay, hold on here. There's nowhere on here. I can't find where it says your net worth. I'm always interested in this stuff. Damn it, Maury salary. No, nothing.
Seems about right.
So there you go. A lot of people are very curious about my height, how much money I make. They're very curious about Catherine. Yeah, salary is number one. People are very interested in how much money I make. Very interested. There's a lot of these on here. There's a lot of different websites. Okay, hold on here. I'll go here.
It doesn't take you to like one specific site,
bro. Okay, so the first one is Trends Celeb Now, and then Celeb Trends Now, and then Celeb Details. And then you have the Wiki one that has how much money I make. And then you have
Allegedly.
Alpha Life how much money I make, net worth post, how much money I make, net worth stats, how much money I make, celebsmoney.com, how much money I make. That's page one. And then over on page two, I can't even read these things. There's a bunch of foreign sites here.
Yeah, don't click anything.
Yeah, no, I'm not going to click any of those. Yeah, a lot of people very interested in how much money I make.
Steven has a great question. Netflix updates. What do you guys recommend?
Netflix?
Yeah.
Interesting question. Oh, really,
the last
kind of
like series that I watched, or that Jenna and I watched, that we really liked was Living With Yourself with Paul Rudd.
Yeah, that was good.
That was really, really good.
I just watched,
and that was an easy watch too, because the episodes were like 30 minutes.
I just watched the Bikram Yoga documentary.
Oh, the guy who
invented Bikram Yoga.
And
it's crazy.
Was it relaxing?
No, because he's a predator, right?
Oh, is he really?
Yeah, and it's...
I didn't know that.
Yeah, and so he created Bikram Yoga and hot yoga and all those other things. And it's when you start getting into this, Harvey Weinstein and all those other guys, those dirtbags who would, you know, lure these women into these situations where they were put in a position to perform sexually for these guys, they all had the same move. And I found it weird. And with Harvey Weinstein, I'm like, if you go back and you start reading through those stories of what his moves were when these women were in his room, it was always that he came out in a bathrobe and asked them for a massage, right? Over and over and over again, he asked them for a massage because obviously it worked, right?
Yeah.
In the times that we didn't hear about, we heard all the people who, you know, claimed it was abuse and everything else, but it had to have worked at some point. Otherwise, you wouldn't do the same thing over and over and over again. But the idea of putting somebody in a position to just like rub your body, like give me a massage. When you watch this Bikram Yoga documentary, this guy does the exact same thing. So he would
give me a massage.
Yeah, it was invite them up to the hotel room and talk about, you know, how I'm here for you, and I think that you're a real great yogi, and you're going to, you know, be a world traveler, and you're going to, you know, teach my yoga all over the world. Massage my hands, and then they'd massage his hands because they all want to, you know, they all want to worship the yogi, right?
Yeah.
And then it was like massage my back, and then this one woman's like, and then he took my hand, and he was like massage my dick, and everything starts off with a massage. All that's the move of these predators.
I didn't know that the documentary on that was about that.
Yeah, I thought
it was literally about yoga.
No. It is. It's about his style of yoga, but it turns into this thing of how he's a predator.
Damn.
And he would just, and it all starts, and it's the weirdest thing, whether it's Harvey Weinstein or any of these other guys.
Yeah.
Matt Lauer, I think it was started like that. And then Charlie Rose, he was another guy that would come out of the shower in a bathrobe. And then this Bikram Yoga guy, it's all the massage. That's how they get you.
I still haven't watched The Irishman yet.
Yeah, don't.
Because I need
fine.
To.
It's fine.
I need
it's
to find 3.5 hours of my night because I don't want to be like, you know, you, for example, Roz, you spent 5 days trying to watch this movie.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? And a lot of other people I know, it's took them days on days, and I need to find, which is very difficult, 3.5 hours that I can dedicate to it. But ever since Disney Plus came out, I've been spending less time with my Netflix.
Yeah.
Because I've just been all about Mandalorian and all the Star Wars and Marvel stuff, right?
Over on Amazon, I like the Jack Ryan series a lot. I really enjoyed that.
I just finished Miss Maisel.
Oh, you did?
Oh, yeah.
The new season, including season three?
It's only 8 episodes.
Yeah, because budgets get too out of hand, right?
Have you seen the commercial that Amazon Prime put out for Jack Ryan that features the dad in the commercial where he like discovers Jack Ryan? Mm-hmm. Episode 1, season 1. It's like on his television and he's like really interested in the show. And then the next scene shows him walking into the garage and pulls the cover, dusty old cover, off of his old rowing machine. And he starts working out.
Really?
And then the next scene shows him watching the show again, even more interested. And as he's watching the show, like all these things in his life, he's like, you know, a glass of orange juice is about to fall off the kitchen table.
Yeah.
And without missing a beat, he's reading the paper and he like reaches his arm over and catches it before it hits the ground.
Becomes a spy.
And
like
he just becomes
spy.
Like,
yeah.
And that's every funny. Other scene in there, it's him working out on his rowing machine garage.
It's a really good show. The Politician's another good show. I enjoy that, except for the last episode.
Isn't that?
Gwyneth Paltrow, and it's a Ryan Murphy show. So you have to kind of sort of be in the headspace for it, but it's okay. But I would say off of Netflix, if you you have not yet watched Succession, Succession is, those two seasons are the two best seasons of television I've watched in, I don't even know, 6 or 7 or 8 years.
Is that Donald Sutherland?
No. There's nobody in it that you would even really know. Oh. Like, but it's just, Kieran Culkin's in it. He's, I guess, maybe the biggest name.
Oh.
The younger Culkin brother. Mm. But it is a hardcore show. Like, it is so good. It's so good. Yeah.
There's another one I'll recommend. I forget what it's called. Maybe you know. It's several episodes, and each episode is based on a true story from a New York Times article.
Oh, that's on Amazon.
Is that Amazon?
Yeah, but I heard people didn't like that. They liked the episode one, and then they just sort of like it fell off the cliff. It's Love Something, like the Book of Love or Love Stories or something like that.
Each one's based on a true story and stuff, and these famous actors or whatever act out the story and stuff. It was really good.
Yeah.
That's on Amazon?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Suman asks, are there any movies, in your opinion, where the sequels were better than the original?
Home Alone 2.
No, but that's just not right, Maury. You can't put your feelings about New York and stuff like that. Home Alone 2 is not as good of a movie as Home Alone 1. You know that.
It says in your opinion.
No, but you know that, though. You know that. You just have this romantic thing for home for New York at Christmas. But as a movie, it's not as good. It's nowhere near as good as Home Alone 1.
I would say...
You know that, right?
But it's, in my opinion, I like the second one better. To me, it's funnier. There's more traps in the house, and it's not...
It's not in the house.
No, but it's in the uncle's house in New York.
But you don't get to that stuff until, like, close to the end.
Yeah, that's, like, at the end.
I don't know. I like that one more, but that's my opinion.
Well, I always loved Godfather 2 more than Godfather 1.
Right.
Because of the... I just feel like you get... the full story.
Right.
All the characters.
I mean, the clear winner is Empire Strikes Back.
Yes.
That's the clear winner.
I enjoy Empire more than New Hope.
Yeah.
Most definitely.
Yeah. The clear winner of that is Empire Strikes Back, as far as, is the sequel better than the original? Yes. And then they just went on and on and on. But I think that there's a lot of movies like that.
Where the sequels were better than
the
original.
Back to the Future 2 is good. Back to the Future 3 was terrible.
But Back to the Future 1 is still the best, though.
1,000%.
Yeah.
We're talking about sequels. What movies that had multiple sequels, or even just one sequel, where it was better than the original? Like, the only one, for me at least, that sticks out really is Godfather 2.
Yeah. God, you know what? I don't even really remember. Oh. You know what a lot of people think? Okay. Mm. A lot of people think that T2 Judgment Day was better than the original Terminator.
Hands up right here. Right? Yes, okay. Absolutely. Yep. T2 was way better.
I will say that the second Lord of the Rings movie was better than the original, than the first movie.
I don't remember any of them, dude.
Also, you have to say Dark Knight was better than Batman Begins.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah, so there are a lot. There's a lot of people. Let me just look this up here. See what people say. Yeah, a lot of people say The Godfather. A lot of people are with you on The Godfather. Some people say Rocky. Nah.
No.
I've never watched The Godfather, any of them.
No?
They're long movies, yeah, man. You got to be into it.
You really do.
I would argue Rocky 1 is, like, you need that full story.
Yes.
And I like that it didn't end, spoiler alert, with a win. Sorry, with an obvious win.
You know what people have on here, which I didn't even think about because I'm just not in that headspace.
What?
The number one movie on so many people's lists, because I'm just looking through them right now, where the sequel is better than the original, is Toy Story 2.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's on a lot of lists.
I can't even remember because I watched all those movies so much, they all kind of like blend now.
Right,
so I don't know. Right. I can't remember what the actual premise of part two was.
Oh,
is that the one when Woody gets lost?
Maybe.
Like the family moves, sure. Woody gets lost, and then he ends up in like a toy collector's possession.
Yeah. It wasn't the top of my mind because I'm like you. I don't remember those like sort of minute details.
I will say a lot of people say Sex in the City 2 is better than Sex in the City 1.
Who? Stop it.
Who? Oh, no, a lot of people like the second one when they go to Abu Dhabi way better
than
the first one.
Nobody liked that one.
Oh, I know a lot of people that say they like the second one better than the first one. I like the first one way better.
People said that second Sex in the City movie killed the franchise.
I put it on social. And people said, like, when I watched it on TV or whatever, people wrote,
hold on here, let me see what
How many people pulled that tweet?
I know, because Maury, you have this thing where you say a lot of people say, but yet you would have put out a tweet and one person would have replied, and then over the years, you tell the story of a lot of people say.
I just know there are a lot of people that like
How many people? Find that tweet. Let's count the replies.
Hold on here. sex, and the... This podcast is really just all me Googling things.
New podcast alert.
Sex in the City sequel, Maury tweet.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what I'm looking for. Maury, Sex in the City 2 has a 15% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Oh, ouch.
I'm just putting it out
15%.
There.
15%. That's rotten. Like right up there with like the worst movies of all time. When you're at 15%. Yeah, no, people hated Sex in the City 2, man. Let me read you this headline from Vanity Fair.
Oh, no. You know, it's legit.
Sarah Jessica Parker totally gets why fans hate Sex in the City, too.
Oh! I wonder if all those people that replied to your tweet read that headline, Maury.
Right. Sarah Jessica Parker knows that fans hated Sex in the City, too.
Let's do Morgan's. What's your favorite Christmas tradition?
Okay. What's your favorite Christmas tradition?
My absolute favorite is going to my dad's. We always watch after our dinner. We always put on Christmas Vacation, and within 10 minutes, my dad falls asleep on Matthew's shoulder.
Kind of sweet.
That's nice, though.
So wait, what's the seating arrangement on the couch? Like, explain to me how everybody sits.
There's two couches, kind of like in an L position in front of the TV in the living room.
Okay.
And on one couch, it's always me, my brother Daniel, Donna, and the other couch, it's Kyle, Matthew, and my dad. And then and always my dad will fall asleep on Matthew's shoulder and Kyle will lie in Matthew's lap. So I end up watching that more than the movie.
Well,
so
I find it interesting that you and Matthew don't sit together.
Yeah, that was just going to be the Christmas question. I was just going to say, ask, if it's Christmas, wouldn't you want to sit next to your husband when you guys are watching a movie?
You know, it's fine. I never thought of that. It's just that's how we always sit. Like, he always sits over there, and really? I always sit over here.
Yeah.
But it's fine, because Kyle always lies on Matthew's lap.
Is that because you don't want to cuddle in front of your family?
No, I think it's just because I've always sat in that position and on that couch even before Matthew. So it's just that's where I've always sat.
Right. That's interesting. Yeah.
Huh. Oh, and cranberry sauce gelled has to be on a plate in the form of the can.
We get together. My mom has a big giant Rubbermaid that she keeps in storage in her building. And we all get together on Christmas Eve and we have a ton of drinks and we play Minute to Win It.
Oh, that's so awesome.
What's that?
You know, do you remember that show, Minute to Win It?
No.
Where you had to do all these crazy challenges and you had a minute to accomplish them all? It's like you take two...
Is that even feasible?
You take two plates in front of you and one plate has 50 Tic Tacs on it and then the other plate is empty and you have tweezers in your hand and you have 1 minute to see how many Tic Tacs with tweezers you can move from one plate to the other plate.
Oh, it sounds like the best game ever.
Right? And then you have, where you put a cookie on your forehead and you tilt your head back and you got to get the cookie into your mouth?
Yeah.
Right? So that's one of them.
That's awesome.
Bouncing pencils on a table into solo cups. So you have 10 solo cups lined up and you have to bounce pencils on the eraser end and get them to flip in the air and land in 10 solo cups.
Oh, that's so fun.
So you have that.
That's
you have
that.
So we have my mom has a whole Rubbermaid full of all the games.
Yeah.
Right? So we go and do, we do Minute to Win It all night and get drunk and play games.
I love that.
I will say, now that I think about it, Christmas tradition with my parents is that, and I don't know if we've ever missed a year where this didn't happen, but my dad always makes on Christmas Eve fresh bread. And my mom, Christmas Eve, always makes pepper pot, which is oxtail.
Really, huh? Yeah.
And we have that on Christmas morning. We actually eat that for breakfast.
Yeah, good for you.
And get lunch you and dinner.
Get you going. Get you going.
So that's a family Christmas tradition.
Yeah. No, that's great. I like that.
Eric asks, what's something your best friend does that grosses you out?
Nothing. I don't know.
You have anything, Maury?
I don't have a...
Who's your best friend, Maury? I knew. As soon as you read that, I was like, this question is going to end in tears. It was supposed to be something funny.
Okay.
It was supposed to be... Hold on, wait. It was supposed to be something funny, but I knew as soon as you said, name something your best friend does, I'm like, oh no, somebody's going to cry.
Oh no!
Somebody's going to cry.
Meanwhile, I was like, don't come to me.
wait, hold on a second. But you wouldn't even consider your husband Matthew your best friend?
I will, but like...
Yeah, I don't know. I think, yeah, I don't
but
know
then I'm running that. Through the list in my head, and I'm like... oh, okay, how about Tracy? I'm like, nope, that's Matthew's best friend. How about Bianca? Nope, Matthew's good friend. I'm like, oh, no.
Right, we went over this a couple of years ago, or maybe about a year ago, when we, remember when somebody asked Maury, like, we started talking about friends, and we asked Maury to name his friends?
Oh, yeah. He started right? rhyming off all Matthew's friends.
Yeah, yeah, and the people at work. Right? Yeah. Right, then we established that Maury actually doesn't have any friends, and it was this really sad moment, and I'm not goofing on
I'll
you,
say
Maury.
This. I do have a really good friend, Amanda.
Okay.
And something she, what is it, annoying? Is that what it is?
Yes.
Grosses you out.
Yeah. Like, so you can say annoying if you
want. I was
going to
say annoying. Yeah. Every time I'm with her, she always does the thing where I'm telling a story and she's looking at her phone and she's like, yeah, 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 yeah. Right. And meanwhile, then you quiz her and she heard nothing.
Right. I will say this, Maury. I will include myself, Maury, in your friend group for the purposes of this question.
Oh.
Yo, legit, Maury's eyes lit up just now. When you said, I will include
but now
you.
I get to say something that annoys me. That's the only reason why, I befriended Maury for this brief moment.
Okay.
It's the best 5 minutes ever.
Okay, I will say that the one thing, there's a lot of things, Maury, that you do that are annoying, right? Which is fine, and you know that. Because a lot of it is, I think, by design, right? Is you put yourself in the pest position in a lot of people's lives. You're very pestering. You know that.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah,
it's endearing.
Yeah. Well, okay. So I will say this. Maury, the most annoying thing that you do as a friend.
For the purposes of this question.
Time.
Once we're done this podcast, I'm going to cancel the contract. Okay? But for the purposes of this podcast and this question, the thing that you do, and Mocha, you're going to lose your mind as soon as I say this because I know you're going to feel the same way.
Okay.
The thing that you do is, Maury, you are the person in everybody's life where if somebody starts to say something that happened to them, you interrupt them and go, oh my God, the same thing happened to me, and then start telling your story.
Okay, but that's not really annoying, is it?
Oh, you ever had a conversation with somebody like that?
No,
it's the worst. Or I go this, oh my God, I was reading this thing this morning. You go, so was I. I was reading about this thing that da 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 da, and then I don't get to tell my story.
Okay, so note to self.
Right, but that's every conversation you have.
Okay.
Every conversation you have is like that. Where, and then you go at the end, and then Maury is the balls at the end to go, so what you were saying? What were you going to say? And then I go, I don't remember. And he goes, okay, it was about this. And he starts naming off all the things he was just talking about. Right? And I'm like, I'm not going to be triggered by any of the stuff that you just interrupted me with. Right? So I think that there's that. Okay, now no longer friends.
Every week we'll post on Instagram at Kiss925, Ask Roz and Mocha. And that's where you get to ask your questions. And we'll try to answer as many as we can and invite one of you to join us to ask your question over the phone. This has been the Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Thanks for listening to the Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Powered by Air Transat. Catch the guys live.
Weekday mornings from 6 to 10.
On Kiss 92.5.
Kiss925.com.
Or download the Kiss 92.5 app.